Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. On the night of his arrest, the day before his suffering and death, Jesus celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples. He washed their feet. He gave them bread and wine, his body and blood. He instructed them in the ways of God. He gave them a new commandment: love one another as I have loved you. He taught them the importance of staying connected to him. I am the vine, you are the branches. He promised them the Holy Spirit. He spoke to them about being at peace, having joy. He spoke to them about having courage for what lies ahead. All of this and more, I've just summarized four chapters of the storyteller John, beginning in chapter 13. Today we come to chapter 17. And we heard part of the prayer of Jesus. 17 is the prayer of Jesus. We heard part of that today as Jesus prays for his disciples. This is a prayer of hope, and it's a prayer of hope for what lies ahead. And what lies immediately ahead isn't pretty. In fact, it's going to be downright awful. But Jesus is letting his disciples know, awful doesn't win. Hope wins. Love wins. God wins. In his prayer, Jesus says that his disciples have what they need to live in a world that's saturated with evil, saturated with hatred, sin, and death. The disciples of Jesus have God's word. And in God's word, goodness triumphs over evil. Love triumphs over hatred. Truth triumphs over lies. Life triumphs over death. I first heard the phrase marinating in God's word 25 years ago in a conversation with an Australian pastor. It's a word since then that keeps me grounded and keeps me hopeful. How do we survive in a broken world? By marinating in God's word. How do we survive the hatred, the evil, the division, the lies in the world? We marinate in God's word. How can we have joy in the world? How can we have peace in this world? How can we avoid becoming part of the hatred, the division, the evil in the world? By marinating in God's word. Marinating is a cooking term. It means to soak in oils and spices over a period of time. The oils and the spices are absorbed, and they enhance flavor, and they tenderize. We live in a microwave world where we expect quick results. When I'm in a fast food restaurant and they're busy, and I have to wait, this is what I say when I get an apology. Okay, so you're telling me that you just prepared for me a full, fresh meal, including dessert, in 7 minutes, and you're apologizing it took so long. We live in a microwave fast food world. As disciples of Jesus, we need to slow down. And we need to marinate in God's word. Disciples of Jesus live in a world of marination. And you can't rush marinating. Just as it takes time to soak up the oils and the spices, marinating in God's word takes time. It takes time for our souls to become flavored, to become tenderized. When we worship, as we're doing in this moment, we're carving out time to marinate in God's word. The music, the liturgy, tenderize and give flavor to our souls. Marinating in God's word is really a lifelong process. And sometimes we don't even realize that it's happening. Soon after we arrived in our first congregation in Toledo, Joe and I visited nursing homes and the Homebound together. We both vividly remember the first time we visited a church member in a nursing home who had Alzheimer's. We had no training or understanding on how to deal with Alzheimer's. In other words, we didn't know what we were doing. The visit did not go well. Every time I said something, the member responded with something that didn't make any sense. For example, when I told her the name of the church that I was from and that she was from, she went into some strange talk about being tied up in a chair there all afternoon. As we left the nursing home, and I can remember the exact place I said this, and I can remember what I said to Joe, I said, I see no reason for visiting her again. That's what I said. I see no reason for visiting her again. That's how I felt in the moment. But of course, the Holy Spirit had different plans than that, and so we visited again. And the Spirit taught me how to communicate with this woman. At that first visit, I didn't even pray with her. I was so shaken. I didn't know what to say. I didn't even pray. But the second visit, I prayed. And I ended with the Lord's Prayer. And I was totally surprised, shocked even, when she joined in the Lord's Prayer. This woman who didn't say a single thing that made sense to me didn't miss a syllable of the Lord's Prayer. She had been marinating in God's word her whole life.
And by the way, she had been a very active member of the church,
probably spending days at the church. So her remark about being tied up at the church, maybe even a long sermon, made sense after all. Let's not underestimate the importance of our worship, of our prayer together. Let's not underestimate our devotions, the time that we carve out to marinate in God's word. And so we embrace our liturgy, even repetitive liturgy. It's for our souls. As a community of faith, worship, this time together is a time for us to marinate in God's word, a time to marinate in God's love. Because God's love is being given and showered down in this moment of worship. What we do here remains deep within our souls. There's an old story about a letter to an editor. It goes like this. It seems that pastors feel their sermons are very important and spend a great deal of time preparing them. I attended church regularly for 30 years, and I've probably heard 3,000 sermons. I recently realized that I can't remember a single sermon. I have the distinct impression that a pastor's time might be more profitably spent on something else. According to the story, this was the best response. There were a lot of responses. This was the best one. I've been married for 30 years. During that time, I've eaten 32,850 meals, mostly my wife's cooking. I recently discovered that I can't remember the menu of a single meal. And yet, I would have starved without them. I've received nourishment from every single meal. Friends in Christ, when we marinate in God's Word, we're nourished. We're fed. We don't starve for what our souls really, really need. We become spiritually healthy. In the words of Jesus in his prayer for his disciples, by marinating in God's Word, we're protected from the evil one. We become sanctified, which means we become holy. We become connected to God. Our souls are enriched. Our souls become flavored. Our souls become tenderized with God's love. Marinating in God's Word gives us deep joy, deep peace. Oh yes, the world can be dangerous, hateful, hurtful, scary, lonely, disease-ridden. The world can be filled with war and terror, evil, sin. But disciples, we heard in Jesus' prayer, don't belong to those things. Disciples don't marinate in those evil, sinful, hurtful, harmful things. Disciples marinate in God's Word. And because we marinate in God's Word, Jesus sends us out into the world. Not to be part of the awfulness, not to be part of the hatefulness, not to be part of the division, but to serve our neighbors, to serve our neighbors in need. Jesus sends us out because we are marinated in God's Word. Jesus sends us out to love one another as He loved us. The mission of Jesus becomes our mission. And the only way we can accomplish this mission is by marinating in God's Word. We have the truth. We heard in the prayer. We have the truth when we marinate in God's Word. We have joy, deep, soulful joy when we marinate in God's Word. We have peace, inner peace. When we marinate in God's Word, we have hope. No matter what lies ahead, we have hope when we marinate in God's Word. We have eternal life. We have life, abundant life, eternal life, when we marinate in God's Word. Let us pray for those in the world who are in dangerous, hateful, scary situations. Let us pray for those who are lonely, those who are sick. Let's pray for those who are struggling in the world. Let's pray for those who are marinating in war, in division. Let's pray for those who are marinating in evil. Let's pray for those who are marinating in sin. And as we pray for all of these in the world, let's marinate in what Jesus says to us today. and what Jesus says to everyone in such situations and to all of us. Let's marinate in the words of Jesus, who says, I love you. I love you. I love you. Jesus says, and let us marinate, I love you. I love you. Jesus says to us, I love you. Jesus speaks to our souls, I love you.